Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Virginia Church goes back to the Court of Appeals. I am Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me on Faith and Freedom to talk about this case is Holly Mead. Well, this involves our Lighthouse Fellowship Church in Chincoteague Island, Virginia. Now, this place, for those who haven't ever visited, is a place that doesn't have the fastest, best internet or even cell service.
It's kind of a small town feeling, and these people in this church are like family.
I know, for example, when one of our attorneys went to visit, couldn't make phone calls very well. It's just a place where it doesn't have good connectivity.
Sounds nice to me, actually.
Yeah, if you want to have some nice downtime.
Peace time, yeah. But
Chincoteague Island in Virginia, it's on the coast, and because of the church and its location, it does not have internet option for the church. So it cannot broadcast its services live from the church itself. And many of the attendees, or a number of them, don't have either good internet access to watch video or the kind of smartphone or smart tablet device to be able to allow them to watch video. So when some people think that, well, when the church is closed, our church just went to virtual, that may be true, and you may have experienced that. But think about people that are different than you, people that don't live in high-speed access locations. There's a lot of them, by the way, that might be able to get minimal email service, but the video is not going to work very well on their devices, even if they have a good smartphone or smart tablet, or they don't have smartphones or smart tablets. For example, the older people, there's a number of them that will have the older version of the phone. My parents-in-law, when they lived in Oklahoma, there's no way that they could be watching video, even though we would provide them with smart tablets and so forth. It was the internet connectivity that they didn't have that allowed for that high-speed video information.
But you know, Matt, regardless if you go online or not, this church, its name is reflective of what it is. It's
exactly
a lighthouse, and that's what a church should be. It should be a family in that community. Come from broken homes, drug addiction, mental illness, poverty, prostitution, and they're truly a family because they minister to these people. They help get them to appointments. Many of these people don't drive. They help make sure they have food, supplies. They get to their medical appointments. They have a blanket ministry. They help them with their bills. I mean, that's truly a church.
Yeah, and I love this sign that we have on our press release. Lighthouse. And it's got the T as a cross, and this is their logo, Lighthouse Fellowship. And it has a lighthouse there. And then below it, it says, Hope for the Hurting, Broken, and Discarded.
And what's the sign you see in their window?
Yeah, the sign in the window says prayer.
Prayer.
And so, I mean, this church is really a strong church that is a mission church for their community and their members. And again, it doesn't have the online alternative for a broadcast of the service. But even if it did, it wouldn't be the same for these people.
Right.
As you mentioned, some of these people have come out of drug addiction, prostitution. Some of them are elderly. They have no family. This church provides resources. They take them to doctor's visits. They'll help them fill out papers. They really are their family. And so when this church is closed, that family hub is not there. And so on Palm Sunday, Pastor Kevin Wilson and 15 other people were in the church that seats up to 293 people. It's rated for 293 people in the sanctuary. 16 people, including the pastor, were in the church on Palm Sunday. And then the Virginia governor's COVID Order 55, Governor Northam, imposed a penalty of prison and $2,500 fine. And so after the service, Virginia police officers gave Pastor Wilson a disorderly conduct citation.
Because they had more than 10 people, which the governor had come up with that magic number.
Had 6 people over this magic number of 10.
Unbelievable.
Far spaced out in a 293-seat sanctuary. 10 people is all he allowed. And so he got criminally charged for having 6 extra people, which includes one of him being that 16.
That's a $2,500 fine and possibly jail time for a year.
Yeah, and so what they did is the officers told the total 16 people, if you come back next week for Easter, you'll all get criminally charged. Every one of you will get criminally charged, and we'll give you fines. Well, that church shut down for Easter. They had no Easter service in person. They had no online Easter service as an alternative to an in-person service. And so that's when we ended up filing suit.
And again, remember, this is their life. This is their lifeline here. This is not just somewhere they go on Sunday and go home. And we are created to be together. I mean, I know Pastor Kevin keeps a trash can at the front of the church. So those people want to walk down and give up their addictions, they can throw them in that trash can. You can't do that online.
No, you can't. You can't do
that. You can't minister to people. You can't pray for them. You can't lay hands on them. You've got to do that in person.
I was just looking at a recent study, and they were talking about the drastic increase in hospitalizations for alcohol problems for individuals who have been chronic abusers of alcohol. Some of those who have ultimately stopped drinking, they began drinking again, and others who had alcohol problems drank a lot more. Alcohol sales are up 50%, by the way. And the hospitalization admissions for serious alcohol poisoning has increased in many of these hospitals around the country by 30 to 50%, 50% over 2019's numbers. And that's because of the stress, the uncertainty, the loss of the infrastructure that otherwise was there to support them. Some of these people come out of those situations.
Hospitals are places for the sick, whether it's mentally or spiritually sick. You close that, you've got issues.
Yeah, and so this church does not, as I said, have internet, provides physical, emotional, and spiritual services to the community. Many of the members do not have driver's license and are dependent on the church family for rides to get food, supplies, and go to medical appointments and personal care services like haircuts. Many attendees are on limited income they obtained from the government assistance, whether disability or Social Security, Medicare or Medicaid, and the church has helped the various members with electric or gas bills, rent, groceries, and physical labor. The church also, as you said, Holly, offers a blanket ministry, prayer ministry, discipleship ministry, and counseling services. So, you know, when somebody says, well, you can just go online, church is more than just an online podcast, and this church is a clear example of that. And this is one of the churches that really got hit hard with this COVID restriction that was a one-size-fits-all template. Well, where we are in this case is we went before an Obama-appointed judge. This, by the way, is the same judge who some years ago got confused between the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and actually put something in the order that she issued attributing it to the Constitution, a specific quote, but it actually comes out of the Declaration, like, we are created equal. Well, that's from the Declaration, not from the U.S. Constitution.
The judge did that.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah. Judge did that, released it, didn't know the difference between the Constitution and the Declaration. This judge now dismissed our case, and so we're back at the Court of Appeals, and she dismissed it on the basis that no other court in the country has done. And that is, the governor is immune from suit. Well, I understand that in the context of the governor just signing, in some cases, a legislative bill in which the governor is not the originator of the bill or the enforcer of the bill. But that doesn't apply, and no other case in the country has applied it this way. It doesn't apply when the governor issues the executive order, when he's the one who can unilaterally modify the executive order, and when he's the one who has the enforcement authority over that executive order and can also tell other agencies to enforce his executive order.
Case in point, we've sued several governors in several states already.
And no court in the country except for this one has said that governors are immune from their own executive orders from lawsuits. So we're at the Court of Appeals with this case. Now, the state of Virginia has right now increased the limitation to 250, and certainly that impacts a number of churches. So this case will continue to move forward as we represent religious freedom. For more information, visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776.